Thanks, John. It was a wonderful presentation. And now it's my pleasure to introduce a dear colleague and friend, Dr. David Malebranche, who's an assistant professor in the Division of General Medicine at Emory University. And he's going to talk about gender role conflict, black racial identity, and sexual behavior among black men who have sex with men in the United States.
Good afternoon. I'm a clinical investigator with Emory University, and I work at Grady Hospital in Atlanta, Georgia. So part of my time is spent seeing patients, and the other half of my time is spent doing behavioral research. I have nothing to disclose in this thing, but individual personal stuff maybe later if you ask me. Just for sense of a background, we all know about the statistics, particularly the five-city study from the CDC that found a high HIV prevalence of 46% among black MSM back in 2005. We also have been painfully aware of the whole download discussion in the media and in public health circles over the past few years, talking about the social context of race and masculinity and how that potentially influences risk behavior. We have seen from some studies that higher social role strain, particularly Crawford et al. In 2002, demonstrated some marginal decrease in sexual risk behavior with higher social role strain. But as of today, little is known of the potential impact of race and masculinity on sexual risk behavior among black MSM. So the objective of the study was basically to assess the potential relationship between gender role conflict and black racial identity with sexual risk behavior among black men who have sex with men. And the methods, this was we entitled it the Brothers United Study, and it was funded through the first round of the Minority AIDS Research Initiative, and there's actually going to be an abstract about the MARI program tomorrow afternoon at 4:30 in the afternoon. I don't know the exact location, but it's a wonderful program getting more minority investigators to do research in our communities. A three-year study, we recruited 480 black MSM in Atlanta, Georgia. The recruitment sites included Black Gay Pride, which was in September of 2006. We recruited people over the internet through websites like Men Who Have Sex, or MenForNow.com and Adam for Adam and BlackGayChat.com. We used street intercept method and then flyer distribution at targeted social outlets. It was a 75-item survey, and two of the measures that we actually used, one was the multiphasic inventory of black identity, and the second one was the gender role conflict scale. The outcomes, basically, we were looking at reported condom use with male and female sexual partners among the sample study. The survey sections, we actually had six sections that we took a look at. We looked at demographics, the gender role conflict scale, racial identity through the MIBI scale, sexual identity, which wasn't a specific gay identity scale, just a couple of questions, about four or five questions, HIV testing practices, and sexual risk behavior. Just a moment to talk about the gender role conflict scale. It has 37 items, and it's broken to four subscales. The first one being success, power, and competition, which basically means that as men, we are socialized to believe that we have to succeed, compete, and that above all else kind of trumps everything. And then two and three are somewhat interrelated. Restrictive emotionality, which talks about men aren't supposed to cry. And so the items in that part of the subscale are talking about we're not supposed to be soft, we're not supposed to be weak, so on and so forth. Restrictive affectionate behavior between men. Men aren't supposed to hug. We're not supposed to say I love you to each other. Those kind of social norms. And then finally, the fourth subscale is the conflict between work and family, which means that as men, a lot of times we are kind of conflicted between success and achieving in our work-related episode and then actually being providers and caretakers for our family. And this was from Jim O'Neill at the University of Connecticut, who developed the scale in 1986. And basically it uses a Likert scale from 1 to 6, 1 being strongly disagree, up to 6, which is strongly agree. So basically, the higher you score on the scale, the more you're in conflict with some of these societal gender role norms. And the reason why we chose this was because it was used with a lot of psychological outcomes, depression, substance abuse, drinking, but it hadn't really been applied to the HIV epidemic. And then looking at the multidimensional inventory of black identity by Sellers and Al in 1997 had 56 items. And the key word is multidimensional. And what they did was break things up into a centrality scale, which basically looks at how someone who is of African descent sees themselves in relation to other black people in the world. There were about, I think, 6 to 10 questions about that. Regard scale, or the subscale, included private regard and then public regard. And then ideology talked about issues of assimilation, how important it is to assimilate with the larger white community, humanist subscale, being an oppressed minority, and also a nationalist subscale. The reason why I put asterisks by the centrality scale and the private regard scale was those were the two subscales, the part of this measuring tool, that we found had the highest reliability scores when we looked at some of the psychological literature. And again, this Likert scale was a little bit different. It went from 1 to 7, but again, 1 being strongly disagree, and up to 7 was strongly agree. And you can imagine when we were administering this to the people, we had a couple different scales. 6 was the highest, and then 7 was the highest. It caused a little bit of confusion, so we had to address that. Looking at the sample demographics, 97% of the men identified as black only. The other 3% would also put Hispanic or another ethnicity. 81% reported being currently employed. 63% identified as gay when we asked about sexual identification labels, and 23% either identified as straight or bisexual. 38% had a personal income reported of greater than $1,500 a month. 90% reported ever testing for HIV, and 72% reported being tested for HIV in the past year. And just a note, I didn't mention this before, to be qualified into the study, one of the inclusion criteria was that you had to be reportedly HIV negative or of unknown status. We weren't doing comparisons. We were talking about primary prevention here. 80% of the men reported neutral, unlikely, or very unlikely chances of HIV based on their own assessment of their personal risk behaviors in the past year and 3 months. And then 44%, we just asked a question, have you felt you've been discriminated against in the past year because of your sexual orientation? And 44% answered yes. Now, the descriptive results, I was trying to shove a lot of information on this table, so I'm sorry for those of you in the back who may not be able to read. I can't even read this without glasses up here. When you look currently having sex with greater than one man, I kind of highlighted some of the findings. 33%, about a third of the sample, mentioned that they were currently having sex with greater than one man, and these are all within the past year. Unprotected insertive anal intercourse with another man in the past year was 41% said that they had. Unprotected receptive anal intercourse with another man in the past year was about 25%, which is consistent with a lot of the literature we see. Female sexual partners, 80% said they didn't have any female sexual partners, 14% said they had one or more. And of this small group, what was interesting is that we had 75 that actually admitted to behaviors, but then when we analyzed some other data, it was 68 that said they were bisexual, again, noting kind of the discord between sexual identification, then when you pin people down about specific behaviors, what folks will say. But unprotected vaginal intercourse and anal intercourse, respectively, were 38.6% and 28%. Among those 75 men that reported having sex with another woman. With the gender role conflict scale, our statistical guru actually did means and standard deviations, intercorrelations, and Cronbach's alpha reliability estimates for the subscales. And as you can see with the means, again, keep in mind that 6 is the highest. The men scored about 3.74 on average, which is a little bit higher than neutral, but there is some conflict there. For restrictive emotionality and affectionate behavior, homophobia, it was a little bit lower, as you would expect, with a predominantly gay-identified men who have sex with men sample. Hopefully, the brothers that we interviewed were a little bit less uncomfortable with those kind of social norms. And then work, leisure, conflict relations were actually about 3.03. And I'll just point over here, if you look, these are the alpha reliability estimates, 0.83, 0.86, 0.81 and 0.76, all of which are above 0.7, so it was a fairly reliable that the items that we were looking at with this population for this survey were actually giving us the right answers. So we looked at predictors of unprotected anal intercourse with other men, and this is both, we pooled together both insertive anal intercourse and receptive anal intercourse. In the univariable model, the ones that were significant, and this includes some of the demographic information like education, income, so on and so forth. High personal risk perception, meaning the 20% of the men that saw themselves at high risk for HIV were actually more likely to engage in unprotected sex with another man in the past year than those who didn't see themselves at high risk. If we recruited folks at Black Gay Pride, street or club venues, and reported experiences with homophobia, and having greater than 7 male sexual partners in the past year, were all statistically significant, less than 0.05. But when you look at the multivariable model, when we did logistic regression, All of them stayed on there except for the reported experiences with homophobia, which was not statistically significant after we did that. And also, with the logistic regression, our statistical analyst took a look both at, and this first part of the slide actually looks at significant predictors of any unprotected anal intercourse with other men. The total N was 480 for the sample. We looked at high personal risk perception, like I said, recruitment from Black gay pride and street and club venues, and greater than 7 sexual partners in the past year was positively associated with unprotected anal sex, either insertive or receptive. But then when he looked at the subset of men that reported unprotected anal intercourse or unprotected vaginal intercourse with women in the past year, none of these things panned out, but higher total gender role conflict scale scores, higher scores on restrictive emotionality, men aren't supposed to cry, and restrictive affectionate behavior, men aren't supposed to hug each other or tell themselves that they love each other, those were actually associated with more risk-taking behavior with the female partners. And then also higher private regard for the MIBI scores. Private regard meaning I'm proud to be Black, I'm happy that I'm Black, I love myself because I am Black. The ones who scored higher on those scores in the subscale were more likely to have unprotected sex with women. And don't ask me to interpret what that means. It's all going to be speculation at this point. But in conclusion, kind of looking at these things, because some of the findings that we had were kind of they seem somewhat counterintuitive, or some of them confuse us a little bit. But what we could say was that there were higher rates of unprotected insertive anal intercourse than unprotected receptive anal intercourse. Remember, it was about 40%, which is actually higher than what you see in a lot of the literature. And with receptive anal intercourse, it's more like 25%, which is consistent with some of the literature you'll see with MSM, despite differences in race and ethnicity. What I want to stress about this is that this was a predominantly gay-identified sample. So a lot of times we talk about the non-gay identified folks, and I think, you know, you have to realize that this was a predominantly gay identified sample who was comfortable with going to Black Gay Pride. We recruited from a bunch of different venues, and they are still having unprotected sex. And then you could think of this as kind of plus or minus the sorting of risk behaviors. Are people getting the message? And so now they're saying, well, receptive anal intercourse is actually more risky than insertive, so let me go ahead and be insertive instead, and that'll be less risky for HIV. I'm not sure. This is all speculation from that. We didn't ask the guy specifically. I got 5 minutes left. Good. I'm on conclusions, so I got time. All right. Conclusion, unless I go really, really long. Conclusions, higher, low perception of personal risky sexual behavior. So 80% of our sample didn't feel that they were actually at high risk for HIV based on their behavior in the past year. And then there was a high risk perception associated with increased unprotected anal sex with other men. There were high rates of HIV testing ever and in the past year that we noted. And we're working on a paper that'll actually look at some of the associations between that. That wasn't the purpose of this presentation. And then there were specific venues associated with increased unprotected anal intercourse with men, which would allow the Street Intercept and Black Gay Pride. High gender role conflict and racial identity scores were associated with decreased condom use with women, but not with the subset of men who are having sex with both men and women. And the findings, just to remind everyone, these suggest associations were not trying to state that this is causal by any stretch of the imagination. And then I just put it at the bottom because we know from a lot of the literature this isn't important, but even though it became non-significant in the multivariable analysis, the role of homophobia experiences among Black MSM, we really need to continue to beat that drum and address that. So implications and future directions for the findings of this study. We need to readdress the risk among gay-identified Black MSM. While we have targeted interventions looking at non-gay identified, we have a population of gay identified, comfortable, supposedly out of the closet brothers who are engaging in unprotected sex. So it's a little bit more than just disclosure or being comfortable with the sexual orientation that may be associated with these risky behaviors. Looking at social venues and networks and reducing the number of sexual partners will be important in future HIV prevention interventions. High risk perception, seeing yourself at risk for HIV seems to be necessary but not sufficient for using condoms more frequently. And high testing rates, I'll also remind people, are also not sufficient, because right now we're focusing on testing everybody on the face of the planet, but this is an epidemic that's driven by behavior. So all the testing in the world may not exactly change the behavior. We need more work on the role of masculinity and racial identity in condom use, particularly among Black MSM who also have female sexual partners. And then we may need more contemporary race, culture-specific masculinity measures needed. The gender role conflict scale was developed in 1986. The MIBI scale was developed in 1997. John Williams is actually a huge proponent and has come up with something with Nina Harara to actually integrate a lot of these things together. So I think the future is going to be not looking at it as a separate, mutually exclusive, am I black, am I homosexual, but bringing them together. As Essex Hemphill once said, when you make me try to choose between whether I'm black or whether I'm gay, it's like asking a man to choose between his left nut and his right nut. And then coping skills with homophobia. Y'all didn't expect that, did you? You wanted me to say left arm, right arm? Well, that's the way he said it. Coping skills with homophobia experiences will be needed. The fact that 44% stated that they've had experience with homophobia or sexual discrimination is significant, even if we couldn't find an association, and we need to deal more with that in the future. I'd like to just acknowledge the brothers who participated in the study, the 480 men who took the time out and sat with us. Jim O'Neill, who helped out with developing of this presentation, the CDC, and then this is the list of the names of the individuals that helped out from the Brothers United study who were on the staff. Thank you very much.